our worship celebration continues this morning, hear these words from the prophet Isaiah, taken from the 9th chapter of the book, beginning in the 2nd verse. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken on the day of Midian. Please remain standing for our reading from the Gospel of Matthew, taken from the 4th chapter and beginning in the 12th verse. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his way to Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Hear what the Spirit is saying. You may be seated.
If ever we forget how much beauty there is in the world, moments like that restore us in our memory. Thanks be to God. I wanted to say a word of thanks. I don't know how many of us Foundry folk and others here gathered were out and about yesterday, but my sense is, unofficially, that it was a lot of us. And I want to say thank you for those of you who actually were able to get there, for those of you who tried to get there and couldn't for one reason or another, for those of you who were praying for those who were there, for those of you who were watching those who were there through various electronic devices, wherever you were and however you were present to the great vision of beauty, a different kind of beauty that we saw yesterday. Thank you. This is among the first official acts of sacred resistance that we as a community of faith here at Foundry Church are taking as we begin to lean into this new moment in our shared history as a country, as a city, and as a people. And we want to encourage you to not let this moment of great uprising and hope and engagement and mobilization end with this weekend, but rather to continue your engagement. We at Foundry Church have formed a team called the Sacred Resistance Ministry Team. You can learn more about that on our website. There's information in the worship guide. That team will be identifying, vetting, and publicizing weekly actions, one or two, so that you won't feel overwhelmed, so that you might have some guidance and help in discerning how you can stay awake and stay engaged in what we know is an ongoing struggle, an ongoing journey. So I pray that you will engage that, that you will engage that ministry and help us together to show the world what sacred resistance looks like. Amen? Okay, so there's one more thing. This is just my own personal privilege. We have so many special friends and guests in this house today. We have greeted our sister bishops who are in the house, and we're on the march. We're so happy to see you. And I have a couple other sisters in the house, so I need to say hello to them and invite you to say hello to them. Reverend Rebecca Volkel and the Reverend Dr. Ruthanna Hook and their families. These are dear, some of the dearest, most amazing women in the world. They went to seminary at the best seminary in the world. That's Yale Divinity School. I'm going to invite you to stand up so that we might say hello to you. I love you. And my dearest friend from college is also here. Kate Stevens, right back there. Hello, I love you, darling. How good and pleasant it is when sisters dwell together in unity. Amen? I can say that with a straight face. Well, I'm not going there. Okay. Pray with me. Gather us in and settle us down and remind us that you are God. O Holy One of all that is, come and dwell with us and open this space that we might be open ourselves to receive you this day. Oh God, I pray today that because of me, in spite of me, and in your grace and mercy, your word might be heard today. In the power of your beloved one, our Savior Jesus, I pray. Amen. Mercies. Has anyone ever blessed you as you were going out saying, traveling mercies? These two words are often shared as a kind of blessing prayer as someone steps out upon a journey. I love to travel and always want to explore something new, but I have to be honest with you and tell you that I get very anxious about leaving home for long stretches of time. I worry about my dog, Harvey, and I worry about my cat, Annie Rose, and I worry that my house is going to catch on fire. That's one that I've had in my mind since I can't even remember when, since I was teeny-weeny. Who knows where that comes from, right? Anyone else? Am I alone in this? I turn the corner and I say, well, it might be the last time I ever see it. So I, you know, these are my, I have some anxiety that comes up whenever I'm leaving home for a long time. So I'm not going to be there to make sure it's all okay. And I, you know, I tend actually to manage anxiety pretty well most of the time after years of practice. But I have to say that in addition to taking long trips away from home, there are two other things that I really, really struggle with in terms of managing my anxiety. The first of those is gridlock. And the second is getting to the airport to catch a flight. Both of those things require serious, deep breathing exercises. And when gridlock and trying to get to the airport to catch a flight coincide, then all bets are off. I mean, it turns on into like the full-on, give me a paper bag to breathe into moment. inside. All of that, histrionics, is simply to say, I welcome prayers for traveling mercies. I welcome them. I imagine that even if you don't have those anxieties, perhaps you welcome those prayers as well. Because making a journey is fraught with all sorts of things. With separation anxiety, leaving something behind, with potential obstacles, with hassle, with danger. Depending upon the terrain and events beyond our own control, our very lives could be changed or even lost. This weekend, our country has experienced a peaceful transition from one president to another. And I hope that we do not take for granted, no matter what other feelings we might hold, I hope we never take for granted the peaceful transition. We're stepping onto a new stretch of road. And Lord knows we need traveling mercies for the journey. Some of us are already experiencing separation anxiety. Many of us are planning to encounter obstacles and dangers as we move forward. We are organizing and mobilizing to do all in our power to make a way, to keep a way open for all people to keep walking and trying to move forward. And we are particularly doing that with an eye to those most in danger of being kicked aside or left behind or beaten along the road. But as I and many before me have said, while we are turning the corner and stepping onto a new stretch of road, the journey we are on is not new. John Lewis could remind us that the road we're walking, the story we're seeing unfold, is not new. The nations of Standing Rock could remind us that this road we're walking, this story unfolding, is not new. Our sister and newly consecrated United Methodist Bishop Karen Olivito would most certainly remind us that this is not a new path we're blazing. The survivors of Auschwitz and other ethnic cleansing massacres will affirm that this road we're on is nothing new. Factory workers and coal miners and folks who feel stuck in underpaying jobs or unemployment because their work has gone away know good and well this road we're traveling is not new. Immigrants and refugees across the world, organizers, union workers, the oppressed down through the ages will proclaim this journey is not only just beginning. Our current moment is but one moment in one location of the ongoing struggle for God's kingdom to be manifest on earth as it is in heaven. It is the movement for justice and for peace and for reconciliation among all God's people in all the earth. It is a journey that has always had obstacles and dangers. This has been true throughout our nation's history. It's been true throughout the whole history recorded in our sacred texts. The prophet Isaiah, referenced in our gospel passage and from whom we heard this morning, writes in the late 8th century BCE along a particularly challenging stretch of the journey. Israel was Assyrian-occupied territory. Zebulun and Naphtali, tribes associated with the northern region of Galilee, are in anguish. Their home had been invaded by a hostile power. The rod of oppression was upon them. The other tribes of Israel had been scattered and overwhelmed. The days felt dark indeed. And when Jesus came into the world and onto the scene, Israel was Rome-occupied territory, with a Game of Thrones struggle for power and control as the backdrop. That stretch of the journey was marked, as is always the case in such contexts, by the poor and the vulnerable straining under injustice and prophets like John the Baptizer getting locked up for telling the truth. In Matthew's account, Jesus wasn't even out of the manger, and those wielding power and control in the world already wanted to kill him. The journey that we're on is not new, and it has never been easy. God knows it's never been easy. It's not easy to be human. It's not easy to stay strong when things are hard. It's not easy to grow up. It's not easy to let go. It's not easy to trust or forgive. It's not easy to keep getting up when others keep knocking you down. It's not easy to live together in unity. It's not easy to live together in unity. It's not easy to do justice. It's not easy to love those who are difficult to love, those who do not love us. It's not easy to walk in the way that leads to life. God knows. And so God decided to get real with us. God decided to get all human. God decided to come into the world in solidarity and walk with us a while. Today, that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus is walking. And as he walks, he came across some fisher folk at their nets. These were not guys who had signed up for or been qualified by the standardized tests of the time. They had not signed up for or had not qualified for by the standardized tests of the time following a rabbi. That's not what they were about. They were among the laborers, those of the daily grind, the family trade. We don't know how old Peter, Andrew, James, and John were when Jesus called them to follow. We don't know their motivation for leaving their nets and stepping out onto the path with Jesus. Maybe they just thought that by following a rabbi, they might finally get some respect. Maybe they thought that a different life, a different path, would be easier than casting and mending nets every day. Whatever their motivation, what we know for certain is that when Jesus called them to follow, they did. We also know that their lives did not get easier. Did you want me to say something else? I imagine imagine there were extraordinary moments of joy and astonishment along the way. I'm sure of it. But in many ways, following Jesus is more difficult than not following Jesus. Because stepping out with Jesus means stepping out of your comfort zone. Stepping out with Jesus means stepping out of your blissful ignorance and the illusion of self-sufficiency. It means stepping out of believing that the needs of others have nothing to do with you. It means stepping out of the fiction that it's all about you. Stepping out with Jesus means stepping out of our paralyzing and sometimes clung to fear and despair. Stepping out with Jesus means stepping onto a path where wisdom is gained through pain, where freedom is gained through surrender, where dependence is learned through the experience of our limit, and the piercing awareness that suffering and injustice anywhere is a threat to wholeness and justice everywhere. Stepping out with Jesus is not easy, but it is good. Stepping out with Jesus leads to a life that is more truly human, more meaningful, more whole. The journey with Jesus will change your life. It will lead you to the life that is most truly your own, the one that God knows and sees already perfected in the kingdom. I was just sharing with some folks the other day, and my friends from seminary will be able to affirm this, that I never imagined nor wanted the role that I am in today. Am I right? Can I get an amen from the back row? I was going to go do some dancing. Yes. I still dance, by the way. I never wanted, never imagined this role. And I was thinking too of this young woman yesterday who spoke and was among the original organizers for yesterday's Women's March, who, as she was holding her infant on stage, said, "Before this, I've never done anything like this." You can bet Peter and Andrew and James and John didn't sit around fantasizing about being community organizers, teachers, healers, preachers, or martyrs. They fished. That's what they did. They fished. And yet Jesus came by and knew that they were capable of so much more. Jesus knew that they were not only capable, but desperately needed for the mission of the gospel to bear the light of God's love to those who walk in the darkness of fear and oppression and despair. Jesus comes by and sees you too, knowing what you're capable of, knowing right where you are and what you're doing and where you're needed, what role you can play on whatever part of the journey, whatever location you find yourself in. Our spiritual tradition provides practices that help us listen for God's voice, to discern our calling, to guide and strengthen us as we walk the path with Jesus, if we choose to step onto it. In the coming weeks here at Foundry, we'll be exploring those practices together. And if you haven't already and are a member of this Foundry family, want to encourage you to come and participate in a Disciples Path, our congregation-wide study. A section is being offered by yours truly just after this service. Just come by, or you can join any of the other sections. This past week, it occurred to me that as we turn into this new and challenging moment in our nation's history, I'm so grateful that we in this place are going deeper as a community of faith into our understanding and practice of discipleship, because the practices of prayer and of study, of worship, of community, of service and generosity and witness are what will fuel our ongoing work of sacred resistance. We will grow too tired. We will lose our way if we do not go deep into the resources that we have available to us for this journey. And the world can't afford for us not to be us. We got to do what we can do. These practices will also help us walk the journey in the particularly sacred way that we're called to do so. That is to walk the journey with love and with patience and with courage and gentleness and wisdom and true inclusion. It will be easy and tempting to travel through the coming days and years without those things, my friends. It will be easy and tempting to walk through the days and months ahead in arrogance, in fear, in anger, and in hatred. That's easier. Yesterday, I saw, in the midst of so much beauty and inspiration and vision, I did notice that on a couple of occasions when speakers would call for love for the folks on the other side of the vote, when folks would speak of fighting for the dignity and justice and needs of people on all sides of the issues, it was almost this quiet. And what I'm saying is that we as the people of God are called not just to resistance, but to sacred resistance. And that means being truly countercultural, which means loving all people and seeking to bridge the gap, to fight for the needs, to fight for the dignity, to fight for justice for all people, no matter where they fall in our political framework, no matter where they fall in where they talk or who they listen to or what they do, that we are for all people. That is the call of the people of God. And remember, it's not easy. It is so not easy. But we're called to be a people of love. Jesus calls us to follow his lead, and that is to love God, to love each other. And by the power of that love to change the world. That journey is not new. It's not easy. But here's the thing. God is with us. God decided to be with us. God stays with us. God is walking with us and marching with us and holds us and nudges us and pokes us and guides us and opens our eyes and softens our hearts and releases our grip and gives us courage and turns us around and wakes us up and loves us. Oh my God, God loves us. God loves you. God loves the world. God loves all of us. God is with you. God is with you. A light to guide and liberate us. A light that shines in the darkness and will always prevail. In other words, God grants us traveling mercies. God has granted us traveling mercies. So let's go. Let's go. Shall we?